Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. And Julia is here, as always, too. So it's the two of us.
I got an announcement this time.
Usually I say it's me, but you've been on here now for a good year or
yep.
more.
Yes,
anyway.
So maybe I'm a fixture.
Yeah. Okay, but we're back with the Metaphysical Hour. And last week, we had some really good call-ins that gave a lot of very good information, I think. So tonight, if anybody wants to call in, it'll be wonderful because we don't have a guest, and we were going to try to do what we were going to do last week. Mm-hmm. I've had tons of emails, and we keep getting the same topics, and it's absolutely impossible to answer all those emails. So I don't want anybody out there feeling upset because we haven't answered your emails. But this would be one way to do it, try to cover some of the main things.
Right.
A lot of them do ask the same questions. So that's what we were going to talk about last week. So if anybody does want to call in, feel free to do it. I enjoy those calls and talking to the people. Let me give out the toll-free number here in case anyone does want to call. 1-888-815-9756. 1-888-815-9756. And, you know, last week we started off talking about the magnetic pole shift, and it just came over the news, so I didn't have a lot of information about it.
Mm-hmm.
But after we got off the next day, I checked on the Internet, and it's all over the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 40 miles is what it's moving.
Per year.
Yeah, I thought mm-hmm. it was degrees, according to the TV. But they said the magnetic pole is moving 40 miles a year. I think that's pretty fast.
Well, they said that's what it's been doing, and then this year it went even more.
It's going faster.
Yes, uh-huh.
But it is moving back the other side toward Russia and Siberia.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll mean that's going to eventually be where the pole's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But that's amazing in itself, but I knew it sounded familiar. So I went and got out the old Nostradamus books that I wrote, over 20 years ago.
Right.
And in volume 2 of that, he was talking about he had the maps in there and what the world was supposed to look like if it does this dramatic shift where the waters come in and
mm-hmm.
everything. And on that, it did have about the North Pole.
Right. And the South Pole. It was talking
yeah,
about
and it said the North Pole mm-hmm. would be in Russia and Siberia, and the South Pole was going to be up in the southern part of South America.
Mm-hmm.
So it would move that much. That means Antarctica,
mm-hmm.
that part
mm-hmm.
would be up there. So we were saying that means, I guess, the equator.
No, not Antarctica.
Well,
Antarctica will be different.
Yeah, Antarctica will be there, but the South Pole part will
yeah.
move up.
And it will make the South of Africa, South America, be like Antarctica.
Yeah, it'll be colder, so
right.
maybe Antarctica will have land there then where people can live.
Right.
Because they're saying...
Have a resort on Antarctica.
They're saying in Greenland, the ice is melting so fast
mm-hmm.
that for the first time,
mm-hmm.
they're able to plant.
Right.
And they never been able to do that before, to plant
yeah.
crops.
Yeah, we don't hear much about Antarctica, but it may be that there's something similar happening there. You know,
it is happening with the penguins. They said they're having to go further and further.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it is changing down there. But we were saying if that means that's going to eventually happen, then where we live will be the equator.
Yeah, and I've seen that some places that we would be in a very tropical area. You know, it would be like very very close to the equator, and I thought that is. I'm okay with that. I like that kind of weather better.
Well, I don't like real hot, but I don't like real cold either.
Right, but that would be temperate.
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
better. That'd be pretty
mm-hmm.
good. But that's just what they said, and of course, and I thought, well, that's amazing. It was in the Nostradamus books
mm-hmm.
about 25 years ago that all of this stuff was what he saw.
Right.
But we got to remember, this is, the shifting of the Earth and all of that is with the old Earth. And we're not really sure what's going on. We're still trying to get this into simple terms about the new Earth and the old Earth and moving between one and the other, which is going to stay and which is going to go. of the world.
And here we are. We have inside information, and we're still confused. So it's just, you know, I had a message today. I was kind of talking with someone, and they were saying it's really not important to know how or, you know, to know what, things like that. The main thing is just to trust and just to be who you are and love and just be. And then and it's always the love that raises your vibration, so that will take you to the where you want to be.
Uh-huh.
But it's like it's really not important to know all that. I guess if we get caught up into the details, maybe that holds us in places or something.
Yeah,
so.
Because that's what some of the emails are keep talking about. With all the negativity going on in the world, I'm going to stay with that or what? That's real or probably going to know the difference.
Right. And seeing that can mess with your head.
Yeah.
And get you caught up in the things that aren't really the important part.
And in my lectures, we keep getting, we're headed over that way, and we keep getting a lot of people in the audience wanting to explain it more fully. And I said, all I can say is, when I ask lots of questions when we get on that in the sessions, and it's in the books, but I ask lots of questions about it, and they said, we can't really answer all your questions because we don't know.
Right.
And if they don't know, I don't know who but
well,
he knows.
And that makes sense when you think about it, because like we've talked about before, things are changing, how it's speeding up. Things are changing from minute to minute, and actually now it's second to second.
Yeah,
so if it's happening like that,
month to month, and
right?
Like
I mean, that's when they said, you know, seers, you know, psychics or anything, when they would look at you, they're looking at you according to your path that you're on right now. This is what is likely to be your probable future. Well, now that's very difficult because at any moment, you can make a left turn instead of a right turn, and your life is taken on a whole different course. And so it's that kind of stuff. This whole thing is evolving constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm seeing, see, it's what they've been showing me a lot lately. And I think that's the answer, but although I remember how they said, don't worry about that, but they keep showing like a stack.
Stack of cards like that or what?
Right. Like and now each one of those are the different Earth dimensions. And it's like you are choosing where you will be by your vibrations, and they're all the different possibilities, probabilities of this whole scenario, I guess.
Yeah, because
so,
that's what you say. She gets up there now in some of my lectures and gives some very good information. She's saying all the probabilities and possibilities that are totally possible are all out there.
Right.
And that's why it's hard to figure out which ones are going to be.
Right.
But as I said they couldn't answer all my questions about it because they don't know because it has never happened before in the history of a universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time that an entire planet is going to move into another dimension by changing its frequency and vibration. So that way they're just watching and because they don't know what it's going to do. And it all depends on all these billions of people on the Earth, too.
Right. Right.
Their energy and their decisions are what move it into the other probability.
Well, and what moves it, though, is love. You start fearing it and being afraid of what's going to happen or what you think might be going to happen, and, oh, my gosh, this means this and this means this, and, oh, what are we going to do? Woe is me. That pulls that vibration down.
Yeah, like those movies,
2012.
Be excited
about it. We chose to be here and be part of this. We are making this happen. We're here to help the Earth do her thing and ascend. Well, we do that by being in that vibration, and we contribute to her by being in that vibration of love and excitement and joy and all of those things, those light vibrations, and then we help her move.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, she's fighting against us almost, you know.
Yeah, so. Because that's what these are some of the things we do in the lectures I talk about. They have said the Earth, you know, is a living being. It really is. It's a living entity. And as that, it is getting to the point where it is going, it's evolving, and it's changing and evolving, and it is moving into its new incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Just like people, it just took it a lot longer because its lifespan is a whole lot longer. But it has decided to evolve and move into another incarnation, and it'll do it regardless.
Mm-hmm. Well, and she's done all this in cooperation. You know, we've all been living together in cooperation. And, I mean, she's allowed us to be here.
Yeah.
And this is now something she is doing also in cooperation. But again, like you said, doesn't care. She's going to do it one way or the other, whether here or not.
And they said she doesn't really care if the human race goes with her or not, because she's allowed us to live with her, and mm-hmm. we're really the way we've been hurting the earth. Mm-hmm. It's like fleas on a dog, and she would just as soon shake us up.
And that's part of this wake-up process is, you know, this is our home. This is our wonderful mm-hmm. earth that has been working with us. And let's be kind to her, and we're all doing this together. Let's help each other do this. So.
Yeah, it's in one of I'm working on three more new books, and in one of them it was talking about whenever life was first put on Earth, it had to do it with agreement with the entity mm-hmm. called the Earth. Mm-hmm. It couldn't have happened otherwise. The Earth had to agree to share itself with another life form.
Well, that makes sense.
And that was why they had to choose something that would be compatible, and we were the ones. Of course, it evolved over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the Earth had to be agreeable to sharing its energy with another life form, and that's why we're here. So it's definitely going to move into another incarnation, another dimension. And if we want to go with it, of course, we're going to have to make some changes.
Well, that's what I say. That's where you... You know, it's a cooperative thing, and you one, treat her better, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then two, you raise your vibrations, and that in turn affects everyone around you, and it also affects her. It helps her to raise her vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's why there is definitely, we have a lot of discussion about this, because they keep talking about two Earths, where one stays in the old dimension. Mm-hmm. This is the one where all the negativity and all the disasters and all those things are happening, where the other one shifts into the other dimension.
Yeah, but you know, a lot of those things have to happen to shift. So when the energies do their things, and when we go through shifting, what does your body feel like?
Oh, well, you can tell the difference now.
Okay, exactly. It kind of goes through some little earthquakes, doesn't it? It kind of goes, well, that's what the Earth is doing, as her energy is shifting. You know, she's going through these things and stuff. So it's just the same kind of a thing. It's just on a bigger scale because it's a bigger entity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's no different. But she's going to have those things happening as she is lightening her load, you know, as
mm-hmm.
she is raising her vibration. So I don't know that it's all just that's old Earth, new Earth. I think that's just evidence of Earth is shifting. So,
but if we want to go with it, we'll move into the new Earth.
Right. We work mm-hmm. with her, you know, and we lighten our load. And they have said
that the ones who will stay, some will be left behind, just mm-hmm. like the Bible says, mm-hmm. that some will be left behind, and not a very good way to put it. But the ones who will stay with the old Earth are those who are stuck in negativity, and they don't realize anything is happening, and they have no intention of changing. And they said, that's all right, that's mm-hmm. fine. They're where they're supposed to be.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with I'm better than you, or I'm more advanced than you, or, hey, I'm smarter than you, or I'm more with it. It's nothing to do with that. We're all on this one path for learning more and having experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just that soul's choice to go that route to the destination rather than this route. You know, it's just they're different ones. We want different experiences.
They are where they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, they said, you'll all get there.
Absolutely.
Doesn't make any difference. Mm-hmm. But that's why it doesn't do any good to try to, and that's what we were talking about last week
right.
with that other caller. You're not supposed to try to convince anyone. You're not supposed to try to convert anyone and browbeat them into changing, because that's not what it's all about.
Well, no, if you live your belief, you live what you believe, and it will have the effect on everybody around you just by you doing that. You be you. You be true to yourself. You walk your talk. You live your life. You know who you are, and you live who you are, and that affects everybody,
mm-hmm.
and that is how you, you know, if they come and ask you questions, fine. Then you can actually say something, but otherwise, just live your truth.
That's what I tell people. Don't push it on anyone, and that's just what they have said. You'll just overwhelm them. They won't
mm-hmm.
understand, and they'll become angry, and they won't want to listen to you.
Right.
So they said, just you don't have to even tell them, like Julia said. But if they do come to you and begin to ask questions, then we have the answers.
But, well, you have as many answers as you have.
Yeah.
I mean, none of us have all of them, but
uh-huh.
That's okay. I mean, that's what they say, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, and if they come asking you questions, then, okay, maybe you have some of their information. So,
uh-huh.
But there again, you still just do...
Dropping a little crumb.
Drop the crumbs, and...
Well, that's what they said, that the ones who stay, they will stay with what they have created. So here it goes again with what you create. If they have created a world of negativity and that they're happy in that and they don't want to change, that's their world. That's their earth.
Well,
that's
at this
their
point,
world.
They don't know any different, probably. I mean, it's a soul choice. But through those experiences, they come to understand that, because that's where we all were in that. Every one of us were in this, oh, my God, and then you finally go, "Wait, that's enough." You finally go, "That's enough. I can do something about this." And then you start realizing, I have the reins here. So it's a process, and you never would know that if you didn't go through these other things. So they're just in this stage of their development. So that's all.
And that's what we keep telling people, too. You are the master of your own life.
Mm-hmm.
You are the master of your world, and you create the world that you live in. You
Absolutely.
Have total power. You are a powerful, powerful being.
We are great and powerful beings.
And mm-hmm. If you don't like what's going on in your life, you can change it. People say, I have clients all the time that are coming to me, "I'm trapped. I can't get out of this situation." So many of them want to kill themselves and get out because they said it's just not worth being here. But you've got to remember, you set it up, you created it. If you really
probably for that very purpose, for you to get to that point to say, "Hey, I don't like this." And when you get to that point, that's when you can make a change.
Mm-hmm.
See? So it brings you to that point so that you can take control of your life.
There's a lot of them say, mm-hmm. "Wait a minute, I don't want these things happening
mm-hmm.
to me."
Yeah.
But in all the clients I've done, whenever we do the session, it always comes up, they chose it. They
Absolutely.
Chose the situation, they chose the lessons, and some of them are really bad, I mean,
mm-hmm.
horrible. The stories people have told me, you wouldn't believe how people have treated each other. And you wouldn't think, what could they possibly learn from something like that?
But they do. I mean,
they
it's
do.
All about experiences. It's all about what they came to experience, and they set that up to have those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
to learn from. So,
of course, when you're in the middle of it, you can't see it because.
No, but how many times? I mean, those people that those things have happened to. I'm not saying it's okay to have those things. I mean, we're not endorsing any of this stuff.
No, it's not right for people to hurt each other.
It's not, and it's not okay. But look how strong. I mean, when you have that on you, and then you finally push it back and say no more. Look what it did for you. I mean, look how strong and what character it builds. So that
mm-hmm.
could be, many times I think that's what you, as a soul, set it up for.
Yeah.
But.
And we've also found you do make contracts with these people to come into your life so they can be there to teach you something.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they say you're really your best friend on the other side.
Yeah, I had a hard time with that one. I understood it, but the people that I've had in those positions, I mean, you really do. It's easier to go to a neutral place than to go to that must be a friend place, because it's really hard to get those kind of feelings.
Yeah, we've all had bad things happen in our lives. Everybody
mm-hmm.
does. That's what life is all about. And some people have a lot more horrible experiences than others. But when I'm doing a lecture, I always say, did you learn anything from it? If they really sit down and look at it, did they learn anything? Did that person in their life teach them anything?
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking at that. All they're looking at is how much they hate them, how much how horrible their lives are, without
right.
really saying, okay, now what did I learn from that?
Mm-hmm.
And the people that tell me, well, I didn't learn anything, well, guess what? You're going to have to go through the experience again because you haven't got the lesson.
Well, and you will until... somebody can tell you like that, when you to ask them. Well, see, when you've done that to them, like, what did you learn? You're making them pull back and look at it from a different perspective. And it could be just that question alone. You know, up until that point, they may not have thought they learned anything, but that's getting them to start looking at it again. And it could save them from having to keep repeating this pattern to learn. As soon as you pull yourself back and start looking, for the lesson, well, then there you're on a different track now.
Because then you're not in the victim mode anymore.
Right. You just have to pull yourself back. And some people may have to pull themselves way back to get to that point of perspective. But whatever it takes, you will see it. You know, that puts you in a completely different place and on a different path once you do that.
Mm-hmm. I had a thought there, and it went out of my head. It'll come back anyway. There's so much about this.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I spend so much time talking to people about. You know, they tell me all the things, because I have to know about them before we're going to have a successful session.
Right.
And there's no judging.
Mm-hmm.
You can't judge because you don't know what you'd be in the same position.
Right.
I know what I was going to say. Is that one way we can tell if you haven't learned or not is you draw the same situation to you again and again. That's the victim mode, too.
Right. But like I said, if you'll pull yourself back and look at it from a different perspective, that immediately shifts it into a different gear so that you have probably already stopped it by that point, just by doing that.
Well, for example, I have clients who've had horrible childhood where they've been sexually molested. They have, there's a color, and they have been beaten.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens? They get out of that as fast as they can. They jump right into a marriage where the husband is treating them the same way.
Right.
That means they have not got that lesson.
Right.
Okay, anybody there?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
I had a question. Last week you brought up Kryon, and I've looked Kryon up and listened to a couple of his channelings. And I was just wondering if you've ever had any interaction with they that you call them, and if they've ever said anything about Kryon.
I've never asked.
Mm-mm.
But you read the Kryon more than I
have. I just read the books.
Have.
I have not ever seen them in person. I've just read the probably about half of their books.
Who do they claim Kryon is?
It's like a collective.
Is it?
It's a they, yeah. That's my understanding of it. And when I was reading it, it just resonated to me. It resonated with the same material. So are you finding that, or are you questioning that?
No, I'm resonating with Kryon. I guess I was just interested if they have said anything like that he... I don't know. I don't want to say it like this, but is he less than they or in the same realm?
And if you know, have you read any of the Esther Hicks, you know, Abraham material?
Yeah.
Okay, well, so, you know, and I had a problem because she kept calling it Abraham, and I was like, well, it's not an entity. It's not a single thing. And then I saw one of her talks where she says she explained them, and it's almost the same definition that Dolores gives for they, and I'm like, okay, you're talking to the same people. Well, I think that's probably what Kryon, because when I was reading the material, it kind of has that feel to it. So I think it's the same layer of information, the same place of information.
Well, you know, being human beings, we have to put a name on things. We always have to label things. And so that's why they give the name Kryon, or they give Abraham.
Right.
But they have said, we don't have a name.
Right.
We are collective.
And I've jokingly said, we can call it Henry for all we care, you know, and so maybe that's what's happened. They just, you know, they gave it a name just to have a name. So.
I guess they had to personify it in some way to make it more real to them. But it definitely does have the same sound to it. The information does come across. I had an email the other day from somebody Well, they want to write an article or something, and they said, well, through all your books, sounds like you're speaking to the same entity. Now, who is this entity you're speaking to? And I said, that's the same idea. We could call it a name, but they say they're not one thing.
Yeah.
Does that make more sense to you?
Yes. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
But I think it's the same. Bye. Anyway.
Yeah, that's the feeling I had in the book. I mean, that's why it resonated. It was like, okay, it's always these things validate, you know, and it's the same field of information, you know. So.
Well, that's why whenever Neil Donald Walsh wrote the book Conversations with God, and he was on some show, morning show or something, and he said, I know I'm not speaking to God. I'm just speaking to my higher self.
Yeah, but our higher selves our God.
It is
God,
yeah.
And we are God, and so you actually are speaking to God.
Yeah, the same thing.
And you've seen the picture that I draw, and I can't draw it here, but when you see that, it is.
It's all the
when
same.
When you hit up in that area, it is all the same. It is God, because it melds up into God, so it is.
I guess it's because everything is so big. It's mm-hmm. so big and so huge, what we're working with. We have to get it down to our level and down to where it's
right.
understandable, and that's why they put a label on it.
Right, right. And they, yeah, it gives it a personality or
feel. Yeah, so they can, otherwise it's too big.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I'd rather be working with something that's mm-hmm. that big.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Uh-huh. And you can kind of tell the layers. You can kind of tell where you are within it as to what how personable it is, how close or how distant it is. But it's all the same thing.
It is amazing the way, through the thousands of people I work with, it always sounds the same.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, if you want to say the same personality or whatever it is, and none of these people know what it's supposed to sound like, but I do.
Right.
And it's very, it is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Very much full of love. It's total love. It's mm-hmm. just wonderful to work with it and to see the wonderful healings it can do.
Okay.
But as I was saying before the caller came in, too, some of these people, one way you can tell, you have a horrible childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get out of that because naturally you're going to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing they do, they jump into a marriage where the husband treats them the same way.
Mm-hmm.
That means they haven't resolved what it was.
Right, gotten to the core issue of what it was that they wanted to learn.
That they were trying to learn.
Right.
And we know people... I don't know, maybe with men, but there's a lot of women that come to see me that have keep drawing the same kind of man to them all the time.
I think men do the same thing. It's just people drawing relationships to them.
Yeah, and they draw the same kind of a relationship to them again and again and again, and it's not good for them. And it makes them miserable. Well, it makes them unhappy, but they get out of it, and they draw the same kind of person to them again because they haven't got it figured out.
Yeah, that or they really like that drama. And some people do. They remember, it's life's a stage, and some people are real drama queens, so
uh-huh.
they love the drama.
But if you look at it that way, that you're setting this up to learn something from, then I can say, okay, I think I've got it now. I've learned that lesson. Let's move on to something else. Mm-hmm. I don't want to keep playing the same scenario over and over again.
Right. An old song and dance.
Okay, so. I think we got another caller.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anybody there?
Yes, hi, Dolores. Thank you for taking my call. My name's Karen.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Karen.
Hi there. I'm new to listening to your radio show, and so forgive me if you've already talked about this before, but I was wondering about the relationship to the physical manifestation of illness in people's lives. Let's say we've had, you know, in terms of our relationship to other people or our families, we've had pretty good experiences, but chronic illness, clearing chronic illness, I guess, is I thought maybe working with oneself in that way. You might have some...
Oh, yeah. See, this is the main thing that I do. And you probably...
That's fine. She
yeah, that's all right.
New,
you said,
she's,
yeah, she's new. Okay.
It never hurt. This is, I think, one of our biggest things to learn here right now. And so it's wonderful mm-hmm. that you're asking this again.
Yeah, but
so,
I always say, well, I've said it so many times, I don't want to repeat myself.
I don't think this can be said too much.
Okay, but no, this is what people come to my office from all over the world to have sessions, mainly now because of physical problems.
Oh,
and
I
this
see.
Is a very important for people to realize is you do create your illness. You make it. You make yourself sick. And people say, what do you mean I don't want to make myself sick? But your mind is that powerful. You create it because you're never supposed to ever be sick. You're never supposed to have any aches, pains, or symptoms, or anything. You're supposed to have a perfect body at all times because the body is a miraculous machine has been created to heal itself and take care of itself if we don't interfere. So we do is go back and find out, okay, you created this. Why did you do it? What was you trying to tell yourself? And believe me, it's amazing when you... It's
and that is
answer.
What it is. See, the illness is a message. from your higher self. It's trying to get a message through to you. This is how you kind of set up before you came in, how to talk to yourself to mm-hmm. move you in different directions or whatever. Until we could figure out how to talk to ourselves directly, we said, okay, we'll talk through these illnesses or
aches,
these aches
pains
and pains. But it starts out as aches and pains, and then if you're not listening, it gets louder like aches and pains. And if you still don't listen, then it can manifest into a disease process. And it just means you're not listening.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, chronic just means you've chronically not been listening.
In my work, we find out whatever part of the body it's affecting is always the same message. And that's what I'm teaching mm-hmm. in my classes,
right.
is how we can help people by finding out, okay, what part of your body is it affecting? They come in and tell me mm-hmm. what's wrong with them. You know immediately.
Yeah, you have an idea of what's going on in their
life. In their life,
because
yeah.
of what's happening with the body. I mean, the body becomes transparent. And,
very transparent. What part of the body is being affected, it tells you loud and clear what's wrong in their life. And as you said, it definitely does go back to relationships. It goes back to childhood. It goes back to all kinds of things, and you find the reason.
Sometimes it goes back to past lives, and so that's where a lot can be found out through a session, you know, where it's going on beyond
whether it's
that,
reincarnation.
So, right.
But sometimes you set up a pattern with
right.
these same people.
Over lives.
You come back many, many lives, still trying to work it out, and so you carry a lot of that, what I call the baggage and the garbage around with you. Do you have any specific illness you want to ask about?
Well, yeah, I was thinking more about fibromyalgia-like symptoms and lupus, those kinds of sort of full-body, you know, pain symptoms. And I was wondering if you taught a system where people can, you know, sort of self-hypnotize or work with themselves, or if they actually do have to be in session. Is there a way for us to work with ourselves to clear these things?
Yeah, the main thing is just becoming in tune with yourself. And we always say, okay, guys, what are you trying to tell me?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And that's
okay.
like the basis. What is it you want me to know? What are you trying to tell me? Because it is yourself, which we'll call guys or they, whatever. It's just your higher part is trying to deliver a message. It's trying to tell you something. So like we said earlier, if you can pull yourself back and look at it from this different perspective, asking that question does the same thing. What are you trying to tell me? What do you want me to know? What am I mm-hmm. not seeing here? See, that moves you into a different place, a place of more objectivity, so you can look mm-hmm. at it, and you look, okay, and then, like you said, the parts of the body, and they're really literal. That's
very
why
literal.
The body becomes so transparent. You know, okay, fibromyalgia, aches and pains all over the body, mainly joints, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah,
joints are your flexibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When it's legs, like we said before, ankles, anything to do with the legs, hips, knees, ankles, that has mm-hmm. to do with your movement, what direction
okay.
you're moving, okay?
And if you're not
okay.
doing what you're supposed to be doing, if you're in the wrong kind of a job or you're in the wrong kind of a marriage.
Or, you know, you want mm-hmm. to be going another direction and you're resisting that, you're not doing it.
You're holding
fear,
back.
Whatever. The body hurts. It's trying to move, and you won't let it. See, it's that kind of a thing. You're resisting. It's fighting resistance, and that's why it hurts.
Okay, so
it's
if
really,
we
I don't
move
think
it.
So simple.
Mm-hmm.
What?
So if we move into what you're saying is if we, those of us in our lives who have physical problems, if we, for example, that have to do with movement, like our legs or whatever, or feet, then we would not be moving in the right direction in our lives, and we would have to determine what we were fighting against so we could move in that direction, and that would remedy the illness, essentially.
Absolutely. See, once the message is delivered,
it goes away.
It goes away, because it's just trying to deliver a message. Once you get it, then there's no more reason for it. And once you get it and you act on it, because it's one thing to understand the message, and it's another thing to act on it. Because if you don't do anything, well, it's going to go, okay, well, I you wanted me to tell you this to get you to go this direction, you know, kind of thing. It's yourself saying this.
See, that's the amazing thing about this is that the healing is instantaneous because you say, oh, now I understand what it's trying to tell me.
Okay.
But, you know.
All right. That's great. That's very helpful. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
I know you probably addressed this before, but I just wanted your information on that.
Thank you so much. This is very important. Now, this is a time of self-responsibility and self-accountability, so that's what I was saying. It can never be said too much.
Yeah.
So thank you for asking.
I don't want people to think I keep repeating myself, though, on
it. But it's important.
Yeah.
Okay,
it is.
Thank you. I love listening
and welcome,
to you, Dolores.
Welcome.
Yeah. Okay. But,
right,
you know, a lot
you.
Of people,
thank you.
A lot of times they are at a crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I always ask them. Are you at a place in your life where you want to move in a different direction?
Right.
You should be moving in another direction, but you're holding back.
Right.
For a lot of reasons. Maybe they're miserable in their job, and there's another job they could take. They could go another direction, but there won't be as much money in it. Maybe it'll be different, you know.
Right, because sometimes it's just fear of change.
Fear of change.
As simple as that, it may not be that it's a lesser financial thing. It's just it moves you out of your comfort zone or something, you know. And that's we get comfortable and we're afraid to change. So.
But sometimes it does mean like a downsizing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that you're going to not make as much money. And they'll say, well, I don't want to, if I want to do that, well, then that's when the aches and pains start up, the hips, the legs, the knees, the feet.
Right.
Because you're holding back and not moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you do decide, if you put your heart's desire, maybe the other way is what you really want to do, but you haven't been able to allow yourself to do it.
Right, and this is a time you have to get really honest with yourself because, you have to pull yourself, like I said, you have to get a different perspective. And if it's become chronic, it's probably something that you've been trying to do for a long time and you just will not admit to yourself that that's really what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for whatever reason, you've been going the other direction and... Well, it's time to be brutally honest with yourself.
Well, you know, we've had cases, you know, like where it's the family. The family says, well, now you're making all this money.
Right.
You can't go off and do what you really want to do.
Right. That wouldn't be responsible. That wouldn't be whatever, you know.
Yeah.
What would people think?
So. But it is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
We had one young man at my classes. I always have a volunteer that we do for the demonstration. In the class to show them how this is all done. And this man's back was so bad that he barely made it there. He flew in and he was sitting there. He was only in his 30s and he was sitting there with all these pillows. His back was really bad. And they were talking about doing surgery. And they said if they didn't, he was going to end up having to have his legs amputated. And I said, that's really drastic. But they said the way the vertebrae was pressing on the nerves, it was going to cut off the circulation, so they really had him frightened. But he was in a job that he hated. It was a corporate job, but he was still living, well, he had to go back and live at home again whenever he got so bad, but his parents kept saying, yeah, but look at all the money, look at the prestige, this is what you really want to do. But he wasn't happy. His desire was to be an artist. Well, of course, that's not practical.
Mm-hmm.
Artists don't make any money. And so they were really discouraging him from going in the direction he wanted to go. So his body was trying to tell him, okay, you don't do what you really want to do, we're going to start shutting you down. And it can get to the point it can really be bad.
Well, it's just got to get your attention. Whatever it takes to get your attention. And a lot of us are really hard-headed.
That's what I'm always saying. If you don't get the message, it'll start out very subtle, little aches and pains, and then it'll get a little more and a little more, trying to get your attention. And pain is a good way to get your attention.
Right.
And it'll really get your attention.
Yeah, it will.
And if you don't get it, then a little more pain and a little more pain. Until finally... it's got your attention, and it may get to the point where it's going to be surgery or it's going to be a bad illness. because I always say, if you don't listen to the little signs, they'll hit you up the side of the head.
Yeah, and it's not pleasant to be hit upside the head or on top of the head, or however you want to see it. But, and I have been hit on the head.
If you're not listening.
And, right. And so I made a deal with them, and I said, okay, I promise to listen from now on if you promise not to hit me like that ever again. But what I found was the next time, it took several times. I did hear it, but I don't hear, you know, I didn't hear it right off the bat. It took several times for me to hear it, and I was like, oh, my goodness, I almost did it again. I almost went down that road, and I was like, and I promised I was going to listen. And so now my goal is to catch it earlier, you know, on the first indications. It's like, okay, what are you trying to tell me? So.
Uh-huh. But the man I was talking about, we did the session, and it was miraculous. I mean, his back was healed.
Right.
Right there in front of 30, 40 students.
Mm-hmm.
And he got up off after the session, was running around the room. His back was completely healed. But then, sometimes I don't always get follow-up. But in this case, I did. A year later, someone who knew him said, oh, he's happy as a lark. He's living in Hawaii, and he's painting. He's
yeah.
doing what he really wants to do, and he is so happy.
Yeah, so there's
and
no reason for him.
No
to,
pain.
Right. There's no reason to have any pain. He's doing... He's doing what he came here to do, and that was probably to influence people with his art.
Yeah,
know, his
and maybe
and
the
so.
Creative side of him had
right.
to come out, and it was being buried in the corporate world.
Right.
But I'm not saying, you know, you say, well, you're not going to have enough, not going to be a beachcomber and live on the beach, but who knows if maybe you had too many lives of being practical and...
Well, and they keep saying right now, find the joy, find the
oh, yes.
have fun, find the beauty. So maybe it really isn't a big deal to be all responsible and.
Well, you know, I can see people out there saying, I can see some of the listeners saying, yes, but I got a family, I got to feed them, I got to support them.
But apparently, we can do this and have joy. So there's a balance. It's all about finding that balance.
There should be, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think more than anything else, it means examine your life. Look at it and really see, are you happy in it? And can,
right.
could you make a
well,
change?
And if you're not, I mean, you're going to have indicators.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have indicators telling you this isn't what you set up for yourself. This isn't what you wanted. And so that's when, okay, evaluate. Like you said, examine, evaluate what you got going on. And, okay, what do I want to change? What? How do I want it to be? What would make me happy if I'm not happy now? How can I make this better for myself? So.
A thought just came through my head.
Mm-hmm.
They keep talking about the big unemployment rate all over
mm-hmm.
the United States, and some of them probably saying, "Well, look, I'm glad, I'm lucky to have a job at all."
Right.
You
right.
know, I
yeah.
can't just
yeah.
all of a sudden quit and go follow
mm-hmm.
my heart's desire,
right.
my dream. So it's, I mean, let's be practical too. But if you are having illness, then your body is definitely trying to tell you you're not going down the right path.
Right, there's something, and that's most of the time what it's trying to tell you. You've got to change, you've got to shift, and it just, where it is kind of giving you an indication of what it's about.
Yeah.
But the, ultimately, that is what it is you're moving down the wrong path, you know, and it's just, you need to move,
mm-hmm.
move. So, I mean, shift gears, I don't want to make people think, oh, I got to move or something. It's just your
no,
body
it doesn't
needs
mean
to
move
yeah,
locations,
no.
although sometimes
it is. It is, right. But you know that. And if the person's, as I said, to be brutally honest, if you're really honest with yourself, you do know. You just, it's easier to say, I don't know. And I read a long time ago, they said, if you keep saying, I don't know, it means you really do know. You just don't want to do what you have to do
mm-hmm.
to make what you want to
yeah.
do, what you want to be. So.
But I'm just thinking of people emailing me and saying, well, I did what you told me to do, and now I don't have any money, and I'm out of work. And
well, remember, the universe, well, see, that's the thing. We got trust. The universe always says, I will provide.
Yep.
So, you know, and I know that's hard. If somebody's sitting there without a job and everything, I don't, you know, we have to take responsibility for where we are. And what are you learning from that? A lot of people have come into those situations and then created themselves empires.
Oh, yeah.
Because of that. And they never would have done that if they would have kept their cushy little corporate job, you know. So that's what I'm saying. These situations create dynamos out of us.
Well, they
know?
Look back and they'll say, when I was going on, I was miserable. I thought the world was coming into an end.
Right.
I said the world turned all of a sudden upside down, and it was horrible. But then I looked back on it, it was the biggest thing that ever happened.
Yeah, usually your biggest spiritual growth, your biggest all kinds of growth happened during that time. So,
the dark night of the soul.
Absolutely.
And if you can get through it. And then you never know. They always say one door closes, another door opens, and you don't know what's behind that other door.
Right.
And it can be a huge opportunity. But later on, a lot of people have told me that. They'll look back and they'll say, if it hadn't been for that one person or that one thing in my life, I would have gone a different direction.
Absolutely.
And I would not have got to where I am today if that had not happened to me.
Right. Right, and there have been different things that we've read and then experienced. And these dark nights, I mean, they happen a lot of different ways. One of the ways is you lose everything that you have.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the reasons for that happening is to understand who you truly are and what you really need. But it really is to understand who you are, because you take away all the stuff that you identify yourself with, and you realize none of that is who I really am.
Possession.
It comes down to, you know, it all leaves, and all what you still have left is what is really you, and that's you. You know, they can take everything, but they can never take you. And so that's when you realize it all comes down to this, and this is what's really important. So sometimes you need that understanding to know your true center, your true foundation, your true, because it could be you got really messed up in understanding your basis and everything. So you have it all taken away so you can reform everything.
Yeah, I have clients, they became multimillionaires.
Mm-hmm.
And all they thought about was money and building more and more, like you said, building the empires. And they were really, they weren't spiritual at all. They had gotten so much into that, more and more and more. And yeah, they had terrible, drastic things happen to them that destroyed their.
Well, because you think you are your possessions, and then so your possessions have to be taken away so you realize who you really are.
Yeah.
You are not your possessions. You are you, you know, and you're still a worthwhile person even when all that stuff's taken away, wiped away. Yeah.
And I hear this story from many clients. That's what they'll say. I lost everything. But they still have their family.
Yeah. They have what's important.
Yeah.
That is never taken away.
Well, sometimes they do lose their families, but
that's true.
You have to look at things, you got to look at it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
We're here to learn lessons. This is a school. And one of these lessons are not easy. But that's why I tell people, what did you learn from the situation?
Mm-hmm.
If you learned even one thing, that was the reason for it.
Right.
But that's what you have to look at. What is really important? Maybe it's not a good time to say quit your job and go look for the end of the rainbow or something.
Well,
but still,
you are the one that knows. Remember, self-responsibility, self-accountability. We are not going to tell you. We can't tell you what to do with your life. You are the only one that knows what to do with your life. You came here. You're living it. Nobody knows your life but you. But how many of us let other people run our lives? How many of us are in the passenger seats or even in the back seats of our lives? We are the drivers. Get back in the driver's seat. Take responsibility for your life. And then everything about it. If it's not going the direction you want, then make it go the direction you want. If you want to quit your job, if that's really, 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 really what you want to do, it's on you. That was your choice. You know, I'm not telling you to do it.
No.
So.
But I trust them so implicitly, and I communicate with them all the time. And you can do the same thing. You can do it through meditation.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk to them at night right before you go to sleep, because then you're in a very relaxed, quiet time.
Right.
And ask them, what am I supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
What is my direction? What's my purpose? What am I supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
And listen to the first thing that comes into your mind. Don't try to censor it and say, oh, that's just me talking. It's not them, you know. It's my imagination. Trust it and listen to whatever comes into your mind. That's your answer.
And you may also or you will also, if you're not hearing anything, be watchful, because they give answers in many different ways. It may be song. It may be somebody coming up and saying something to you. It may be a commercial. It may be, it's just some ways they'll get it, and you'll know it. It may have to come in 3 or 4 times. Then you'll go, oh, my goodness, you've been trying to tell me that. Yeah, I get the message now.
Subtle ways. So, mm-hmm. You said sometimes it takes about 3 times.
Yeah. And then after, yeah, that's where usually I would get 3 confirmations of whatever I heard. And
uh-huh.
It was like, okay, that was showing me that was real. And sometimes it takes 3 times just to get where
true.
You get your attention. And then after that, I think you get to where you, once you understand the process and you trust the process, then you grab it faster. It may not take 3, 4, 5 times to get it. You know, you might get it on the second time or the third time. So.
Uh-huh. But if you start paying attention, if you put it out there, they are there to help you. Mm-hmm. They love to help you, but they can't interfere. That's against the rules. You have free will. But if you ask for help, if you say, give me a sign, let me know, tell me some way what I'm supposed to be doing, you put it out to them, they'll give you the answer, because that's their job.
Right.
And it'll, like you said, it'll may come in a, you might hear something in your head, or it may be in a subtle roundabout way. Our minds are so busy, sometimes that's the only way to do it, is just to have something keep happening. And maybe after 3 times you'll say, oh, maybe that's what they're trying to tell me. But it will happen in very unusual ways.
Right, right. And then when you do get that message, when you finally understand it, trust it.
Yeah.
And then you move from there. And as you keep doing that, that builds it stronger and stronger and stronger. That
connection. And to where it's much easier to hear them and listen to them.
Right.
But it does take a leap of faith to leave what's you're comfortable with, your
mm-hmm.
comfort zone.
Sure, it does.
If that's not what's supposed to be.
Right. Yeah, and it is. But again, see, remember, we set these situations up, and that might be why you set that up, so it would take this character to do that. I mean, look what character it builds to go, you know what, and you stand up for yourself, and I'm going to do this because that's what I feel right about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes faith, that takes trust, that takes gumption, that takes, you know, so it's, again, character stuff. So there you learn something to go through that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know in one of my sessions, it's one that I use as a demonstration for the part of the class, the woman had a terrible childhood. I mean, she was beat every day. And we got into the session, we were talking to them,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to know, why did she have such a horrible childhood? And they said, she chose it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes, but she, but why?
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, what they said, she needed...
Oh, that's right, to survive?
Well, she needed to learn... The main thing was to survive.
Right.
But she had to learn to be alone.
Right.
She had to learn to trust herself.
Right.
But the main thing, she had to learn to survive.
Uh-huh.
And when you break it down to that, she learned some valuable lessons.
Right.
They were hard, but she did learn something
right. mm-hmm.
that would carry her through life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what it takes, to sitting down and really looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
What did I learn from that?
Right.
Because if we don't figure it out, we're going to be stuck in that situation, or we're going to have to keep repeating it again.
Or you'll be in another situation and you won't be equipped to handle it. You'll be going, oh, my God, I wish I would have done something to prepare me for this. You know, so and that's where, I mean, we know what we've got. You know, what we've kind of set up in our lives, what we want to do. I remember when I was a lot younger, and I was going through what seemed to be hard times at that time. Now looking back, they were cakewalks. But, you know, at that time, it was like, and people, I kept hearing these motivational talks, and they said, and there's that saying, what doesn't kill me makes me stronger,
yeah.
and all these things are just building my character. And anytime you go through tough times, and I kept thinking, rather than me going, yeah, I'm getting stronger, which I did do, my other part was going, what am I needing to get stronger for? What's coming?
Uh-huh.
You know, it was kind of like going, what am I being prepared for? So,
it's a good thing you didn't know at that time.
Exactly.
Because
so,
a lot of times in my life I've said, boy, I'm sure glad I didn't know what was coming
mm-hmm.
up.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes it's not good to know the future.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because you don't really
well,
know.
Well, and part of that element, I think, is you go in... yeah, you would be different if you knew it and everything. But part of the whole process of that situation was to catch you off guard, you know, so that, you know, that was part of what you probably wanted to learn was how you would react to it and do with it. So
just remember, this is your life, is a stage, it is a play. You're the writer, director, producer,
and hopefully leading character.
You're the leading character too, and it is, you're writing the script, and you can change the script because you never know where the script is.
Right.
It's like going on stage and you gotta improvise and ad lib. But that means if you're writing the script as you go along and bringing in these characters that are waiting in the wings, you can also rewrite the script and change it as you go.
That's right.
So it's coming down to the wire again now. Okay. But I want people out there to start being prepared. We are going to have our conference here again in Arkansas. This will be our sixth one. The Transformation Conference, and we're beginning to get our speakers now. And today we confirmed Arun Gandhi is going to be there. He's the grandson of Mahatma Gandhi, and he's one of the authors that our company publishes. And he's going to be one of the keynote speakers.
Right, and Dee Wallace will be our other, and you.
Tell her who Dee Wallace is.
Well, the best way to remember who Dee Wallace is, she's the mother on E.T. So, and we'll be showing her with E.T. so that everybody remember who she is. But she still looks the same, so you'll recognize her. But she's phenomenal. I've watched her DVD.
She's doing a lot with healing now.
Yes, yes.
And so we got two phenomenal speakers there, but this is a three-day conference, and so we're starting to work toward that in addition to all our travels and everything else.
And very quickly, you have two classes coming up next month, one in Honolulu, Hawaii, and the other in Burbank, California. If you want to know more about those, please go to our website, and it's DoloresCannon.com, and you can get more information on those. But those will be happening next month.
In February.
Mm-hmm.
One in Honolulu and one in Burbank.
Yeah.
And our classes are getting bigger, or bigger every year.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, I think it's time to stop now. But there'll be a lot more events coming up. Anyway, so good night, everyone, and thanks for listening.
Manifest a wonderful day.